We're continuing in the book of Daniel. Uvishnat shtayim, 2 years lemalchut Nebuchadnezzar, 2 years after Nebuchadnezzar has established his kingdom by conquering the Beit HaMikdash. So, when the Pasuk says it was the second year of his reign, it means the second year that he established his reign by conquering Jerusalem. Chalam Nebuchadnezzar Chalomot. Nebuchadnezzar had all kinds of dreams. He had dreams. Vatitpaim Rucho. He got really upset and he couldn't sleep. So he's got a problem. He had a very important dream and he can't remember his dream, and he can't remember the interpretation of the dream, and he's very upset. So, Vayomer HaMelech Likol HaChartumim. So the king says, bring me my sorcerers. Velashafim, bring me my astrologers. Velamchashafim, bring me my warlocks. The warlocks who claim that there's no kingdom up above, that they control things. They can control things in this world. Velakasdim, bring me my, what do they call the people who access demons?
Kasdims, Chaldeans.
No. Kasdim are those
sorcerers?
Those who talk to demons, whatever you want to call them. Lagid lamelech halomotav. I want them to tell me what I've been dreaming. Vayavo vayamdo lifnei hamelech. So they all stood in attention from the king. Vayomer lahem hamelech halom chalamti. King says, hey, I've had a dream. Vatipaim ruchi ladat et halom. Now I'm dying to know what it was. Vaydabro hakasdim lamelech aramit. And so these demon accessors, they speak to the king in Aramaic and they say, Malkal almin chayi, long live the king, you should live forever. Emar chilma lavdach upishrei nechavei. You tell us the dream and we'll tell you what it means. Oh, wait a second. Ask your demons. Ane malkal v'amelech astei. So the king says to these demon accessors, Milata mini azeda. You know what? I lost it. Went away from me. I forgot. I'll tell you what though. If you don't tell me what I dreamt and what it means, I'm going to cut you up into limbs. And I will turn your homes into dumps. Okay? However, if you do tell me the dream and its interpretation, I will give you many gifts. I will give you many gold and silver and royal clothing and your cover your expenses of food and wine. Tekabelun min kodamai. You're gonna get all these gifts for me. Lahen chelma ufishreit hachavoni. So I'll tell you, I only want you, just tell me what did I dream and what does it mean. Okay? It's a deal. Guys, here's what you gotta do. Anot inyanut ve'amrin. Now in those days, there was no joking around. This is the king. So they're under a lot of pressure. So they say back a second time to the king, so they said, king, tell us the dream, we'll give you the interpretation. So now the king's not so happy. And the king says, now I know for sure. So I asked you, tell me, and you tell me, you tell us. Well, you think that you're going to waste my time talking to me all day and then just leave? It's not going to be like that. I asked you a question, you have to give me an answer. And if not, you should realize that you're going to get killed. Now you guys understand already that I've forgotten the dream. So what are you doing trying to get the dream out of me? I don't know. And you guys have to tell me the dream. So this game is not going to work. You guys have to tell me the dream. So let me make it very clear, says Nebuchadnezzar. If you don't tell me the dream, then there is one decree that's waiting for you, and it is death. So don't play games now. I want an answer. And if you think that you're going to just come here and guess and waste my time and lie and try to sell me a load of goods, I'm giving you a deadline. You have from here till afternoon to give me an answer. What did I dream? I'm here 3 hours into the day, and 3 more hours, you got to give me an answer. What did I dream? And if not, we are going to cut you up into limbs. So all I'm asking, says Nebuchadnezzar, is tell me the dream. And you know what? Once you can tell me what I dreamt, then I'll also know that your interpretation is for real. Because if you can do one, then you obviously can do the other. So he's put on some real pressure. Now, again, if they say they can access demons and access the dead, so Nebuchadnezzar says, what's the problem, guys? You guys just ask your demons and give me an answer, right? I know. That's what people tell me. So-and-so has forces. So-and-so knows the future. I say, then why isn't so-and-so a millionaire? Why doesn't he pick the winning lottery numbers every day? Why does he need my money if he really knows the future? Come on. Why doesn't he just go pick the winning lottery numbers? Pick the right stock. People like to believe in someone that knows the future. And I say to them, why does he need your money? A very simple question. If he knows the future, he should not need your money. Right? Right? There's so many things he could win on. The stock market, everything. He doesn't need a lot of money. He doesn't need anything, right? If he really knows the future. And that's what Nebuchadnezzar is saying to them. You guys have been telling me all along, you guys know the future, you talk to demons, you talk to the dead, good. Now tell me my answer. So these demon people, they tell the king, there's no man on dry land. There's no one who could tell you this. You're asking us something that no one alive can tell you. You know, there's never been a king or a ruler that's ever made such a request of any type of sorcerer or warlock or demon consulter. No one's ever made such a request. So you can't do this. What you're asking us, oh, that's something so difficult. You need a prophet. And there are no longer any Kohanim. You know, you destroyed the temple when the temple was built, so you could have gone to the Kohen and the Kohen could have told you the answer. But today there is no temple. You destroyed it. So there's no one left who could tell the king the answer. The only one who could give you such an answer are angels. They don't live in Bisa, Loitohi. They don't live among flesh. They don't live among mankind. So, you know, there's no way you can get an answer now. So Nebuchadnezzar says to them, oh, the Beis HaMikdash was such a good place. Then why did you guys give me the advice to destroy the Beit HaMikdash? Remember, our story is 2 years after he destroyed the Beit HaMikdash. So he turns to them and he says, you gave me the counsel to destroy the Beit HaMikdash. So now, Nebuchadnezzar is really upset. kol kovel dina. When he hears this, opposite this response of the sorcerers, Malka, the king got enveloped with great wrath and anger. The king declares, get rid of them, annihilate them. Do me a favor, go out and execute all the wise men of Babylon. They gave me bad advice. I want them all dead. The rule was given. And they're executing one wise man after another. Boom, boom, boom. They're starting to kill him. And it comes turn for Daniel and his friends to be taken, to be executed. Excuse me, at that point, Daniel, Daniel asks the chief executioner, Arioch, Arioch is going around executing the wise men of Babylon. So Daniel asks him, he says, why did the king give out such a brazen decree? So Arioch tells Daniel the whole story. Daniel wasn't even given a chance. And Arioch tells Daniel, here's what happened. V'Daniel al uv'amin malka. So Daniel goes and asks the king, Dizeman yintin le yufisha lechavaya lemalka. He says, give me a little bit of time. I'll give you the answer. Edain Daniel levaitei azal. And then Daniel gets permission from the king. He goes back home. He lets his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, know what's going on. He tells them, pray. Ask Hashem, the God of heaven, al raza dina, over this secret, di lo yehovedun Daniel v'chavroi, so that Daniel and his friends will not be killed im she'ar hakimei bavel, with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Edayin then le Daniel v'chizvadi l'eliyah raza gali, they revealed the secret to Daniel in a vision of the night. Edayin Daniel, and Daniel gets up and he's had a dream. They told him what Nebuchadnezzar's dream was. Barich le'la shemaya. And Daniel blesses Hashem of heaven. And Daniel v'amar, Daniel calls out and says, Levei shemei di'elah mevarach, yehei shmei rabba mevarach, min alma ve'ad alma, lo'olam lo me'omaya. Here's the source. Daniel says, may the name of Hashem be blessed from this world to the next world. Hashem is master of the wisdom and master of the might. God changes the times. He removes kings, he establishes kings. He gives wisdom to the wise. Gives knowledge to those who know. He knows the deep things. He knows the hidden things. God knows what's in the darkness. And light is with God. With Hashem is the source of light. Lach ela avati, to you the God of my fathers, modei umshabachana, I give thanks, I give praise. Di chochmeta, that the wisdom ugvuta, you've given me wisdom, you've given me might. Uchan hodatani divei naminach, and now you let me know what I've asked of you. Timilat malka hodatana, you let me know what the king has been asking. So opposite all this, when Daniel gets this whole vision and he knows the answer, so then Daniel al Arioch, Daniel enters before Arioch, the chief executioner, Dimani Malka Lehovada Lechakimei Bavel, the executioner who was given the responsibility to execute the wise men of Babylon. Azal, Daniel went to find him, v'chein amarlei, and what he told him was, l'chakimei bavel al toved, stop killing them. Daniel doesn't go to the king first. He first goes to the executioner. He says, stop the killing. Ha'il nikona malka, I want you to bring me before the king. Ufisha le malka achadei, and I'll tell the king the answer. Edayin Arioch b'itbala, hanei le Daniel, kodam malka. So Arioch rushes to bring Daniel before the king, and now he's going to take some credit. V'chein amar le, here's what he says. I found a Jewish guy. A man was found among the Jews who could give the interpretation to the king. So the king answers. He says to Daniel, I want you to remember, your name is Belshazzar. Your wisdom is from the Babylonian God. You are not the Daniel who will judge me. No. Haytach kahel. Are you able? Lo dauta ani to let me know. Chelmadi chazeit. The dream that I've seen. Ufishrei. And its interpretation. I assume you guys want me to read. Right? You want the text with the English. Mm-hmm. Yes?
Yeah.
That's the vote. This way. Yeah. Okay. It's unanimous. Ane Daniel. So Daniel answers. Kodam Malka ve'amar. He answers before the king and says the following. Razadi Malka Ashael. The secret that the king has requested. Lo Hakimin Ashfin. You cannot get it from wise men. You cannot get it from sorcerers, astrologers. Chaltumin Gazrin. You can't get it from the people who try to make holes in the trees and hear the answers from there. You can't get it from people who try to make decrees of what's going to be. Yachlin la chavaya lemalka. None of these different sorcerers are going to be able to tell the king the answer. However, itai there is. Ela bishmaya, the God in heaven. Galei razin, he reveals secrets. Vehoda, and he let known. Lemalka Nebuchadnezzar, to the king Nebuchadnezzar. Ma, dilevei bachrit yomaya, he has let you know what will be at the end of time. And the book of Daniel is now starting a course which we will see again and again and then again and then yet again. The whole book keeps telling us the same vision in different ways. When will Mashiach come? When will be the end of time? And Be'ezrat Hashem, when we read chapter 7 and chapter 9, I will show you something amazing about how we calculate when the end of time is coming. There will be many numbers given as we approach the end of the book. And we will look at those numbers. Maybe off the record, guys. There is a value to learning at Machon Meir. However, we will work our way. Initially, we will see one vision. This vision. And as we progress in the book, we will see more visions. And as we progress, the visions become clearer and clearer, with more details and more details until we get numbers. Now we don't know what to do with those numbers, as we will see. Yes?
In the beginning you mentioned that this book wasn't written with prophecy. So where did these visions came from? They came from
Ruach HaKodesh.
But since it was a dream, can't you say that kind of it was a prophecy? Maybe.
Ruach HaKodesh is a level within prophecy. Right? Let's wait till we get there. We will get there. Stick around.
Can't wait.
I know. I knew El Natan, if there was one person here.
This book is written in Aramaic or in Hebrew?
Part in Hebrew and part in Aramaic and then part in Hebrew again.
Look fine. The sentence that you say, Yeheshemeraba, they want.
Yeah, that's Aramaic, right?
It is in what they call the second chapter, the 20th Pasuk.
20th?
Yeah. So the God in heaven has revealed secrets. Let the king Nebuchadnezzar know what will be at the end of the days. Chilmach v'chesvei reishach al mishkevach denan ho. Your dream and what you saw in your head What went up is the following. Ad Malka. We're up to Pasuk Chavtet. You the king. Rayonach. Your thoughts. Al Mishkeva Achseliku. As you were lying down, they went up to your head. Ma Dileve Yachare Dinaha. You wanted to know who will be king after you. What will be after you? Vegale Razaya Hodeach Madileheve. And so Hashem, who reveals all secrets, he knows all secrets, he has let you know what will be. Va'ana, and I, lo v'chokhma di'itai b'min kol chayaya. It's not because I have more wisdom than any other living creature. Razadina gelili. It's not because of that that this secret was revealed to me. Lahein. Al divrat difishra lemalka yehode'un. However, in heaven they wanted to let you know what the interpretation of your dream is. And they've decided to let you know that which concerns you so. What's going to happen with your kingdom? Ant Malka. So you the king, Chazei Havaita, what you saw was, Va'alu, and behold, Tzelim Had Sagi, there was a very big idol. Salmad Dikain Rav, it was an idol that looked like a human, and it was very big. Vizivei Yatir Kaim Lekovlach, and it was very awesome, awe-inspiring, made of gold and silver and copper and metal. And it was standing opposite you. And it was very fearful. You're standing there looking at this huge idol in front of you. That idol. Its head was made of good gold. Its chest and arms were made of silver. And its thighs, its legs were made of copper. Its legs were made of metal. Ragloi, and then the feet, minhein diferzel uminhein dichasaf, part were made of metal and part were made of earthenware. Chazei havaita, you were watching ad until dihit gezeret even dilo vidayin. Suddenly a stone came and you didn't see anyone cutting off this stone, but you see this stone suddenly falls down from somewhere. Umchat litzarma al ragloi, and the stone lands and smashes the legs of this idol. The falzila vichaspa, these legs that were made of metal and earthenware. They had deket imon, and it made them, it ground them so fine, it smashed them until they were so fine. Beidayin daku chachada, and then the stone smashed the leg, but then everything in the idol started compressing down. The gold, the silver, the copper, the metal, the earthenware, all of it started compressing down. Kalzila, the metal. Chaspa nechasha, the earthenware, the copper. Kaspa vedava, the silver and the gold. Vavo keud minidrei kayit, and they became like the little chaff that goes flying in the harvest when you dry out the wheat and the chaff goes flying in the wind. So all this huge idol became this little piece of chaff. Unsaimon rucha, and then a wind blew it away. And there was no remembrance of this huge idol. suddenly this huge idol that had been so big became this little thing and flew away. And the stone that bashed the idol became this huge mountain, and it filled all of earth. So the stone becomes bigger and bigger and bigger, and suddenly it's encompassing everything. Until it's so big, you can't see anything else. It encompasses all of existence. That's the dream. And now I'll tell you the interpretation. Ant Malka Melech Malchaya. You, Nebuchadnezzar, you, my king, Hashem, the king of all kings, Di Ela Shemaya Malchuta Chisna Vitokfa Vikara Yehavlach. Hashem, who is king of all kings, has given you a powerful, wealthy, honorable kingdom. Uvecholdi Darin Bnei Anasha Chivat. You have control wherever people live, wherever wild animals live. Baravov Shemaya Yehav Bidach. He gave you control wherever the wild animals live, wherever the birds live. Vashlitach Becholehon. You have control over all of that. And to you who have such control, you are Risha Didava. You are the head of gold. That's what you saw in your dream. The top part of gold, that is you. You are the king of the land. Uvatrach. And after you, Tikum Malchu Achori Aram Minach. The kingdom that will come after you will be less than you. And it will be less, just like silver is less than gold. Umalchut Litaya Achori Di Nechasha. And then there'll be a third king. And that's represented by the copper, the third kingdom. Ditishnat Bechol Ara. And they will take control over all of earth. So there will be a third kingdom. Now, all of earth doesn't mean all of the planet. It means all of Israel. He's telling him the kingdoms that will rule over the land of Israel. It starts with you, Nebuchadnezzar. You're the head of gold. You're the first king to take the land of Israel from God's people. And after you, there will be a second kingdom that will take the land of Israel. And that is the kingdom represented by silver. And after that, there will be a third kingdom that will take the land of Israel. And that is the copper. Umalchu revi'aya. And then there will be a fourth kingdom. Teveta kifa kefarzala. And that is probably Edom. And they will be strong like metal. So Rashi says we go from Nebuchadnezzar to Persia, the Persian Mede Empire, and after the Persian Mede Empire we go to the Macedonian Empire, Alexander of Macedon. That's the copper. And then the fourth kingdom. Who is the fourth kingdom? That's a good question. We will assume it's Edom or Yishmael or a mixture.
If it's Edom, it would be Rome.
Okay.
No, it's okay. Is this?
Let's see. It's difficult because the censors wouldn't let it be printed. So it's hard to know. The Christians had control of the printing presses and they wouldn't let us print things that they didn't like.
Italy looks like
lead. Ah, okay. Maybe. I hear.
So what happened to the...
There is, in Bar Ilan University, they're in the process of putting out the original of the commentaries on Tanakh. They haven't written on Daniel yet. We have it on Isaiah and Tehillim, which is very big. There's a lot of censorship was done on them. You guys do your homework, and by tomorrow, find out. You might be able to find online some original manuscripts of Rashi on Daniel and Rav Sadigon. Like over here, Rav Sadigon writes it's Aram. I don't think he meant it's the Aramean Empire. I think he meant Edom, but that's my guess. It doesn't say. So you guys can check.
How much does it cost to get a copy?
Find out. Tell us. So there's going to be a fourth kingdom, which is like metal. Kol Kovel. Rashi in the book of Zechariah writes that the kingdom is a partnership between Edom and Yishmael, the fourth kingdom. That's what Rashi writes in Zechariah based on the Midrash on Tehillim. Rashi in Zechariah writes that the fourth kingdom is a partnership between Edom and Yishmael. We've been doing this class for a decade and a half. Every year, guys are convinced it's happening now. Every year. There's going to be a fourth one. We will see. The fourth kingdom, let's save our opinions. We'll finish the book, Be'ezrat Hashem, and then let's see what we come up with. The fourth kingdom will be powerful like metal. Kol Kovel. Remember, the theme is going to repeat itself again and again from different angles. The same idea of four kingdoms will be represented at least four times in this book. So let's save off on our opinions. Let's hear every angle the book gives us on what's yet to come. And remember that the Gemara in Masechet Megillah says that when Yonatan ben Uziel wanted to write an interpretation of the book of Daniel, all of the land of Israel shook. There was a great earthquake, and a heavenly voice came out and says, "Who's revealing my secrets?" Rashi says it was over the book of Daniel. God says, "I don't want people to know. I don't want them to know when Mashiach's coming." So it can't be so simple to figure it out, because Hashem didn't want us to know. Hashem didn't want it to be so accessible. We will see. Yes, sir.
The commentary Malbim.
Sure.
I think it says it was wrong.
Okay. Fine.
I understand all the Hebrews.
Okay.
If God didn't want us to know that, how come Daniel knew that?
Good question. Let's continue
but
and see.
Did Daniel know that, or he was just writing?
Let's see. Let's see. Daniel
How is he able to do things?
Daniel will tell us that we're going to live in a time where everything will be clear.
Let's see. I said in the beginning of class that when we reach the 7th and 9th chapter, we will actually work a little bit with the numbers. We will see the time that Rav Sadia Gaon said Mashiach will come. He gave a date. We will see the time Rashi said. And if you guys want, we will also see a third time. There will be a fourth kingdom, which will be powerful as metal. Just as you use a metal hammer and you chisel other things, you pound other things, you bash other things with metal, so too this fourth kingdom will be so powerful, and it will bash every other kingdom, and it will conquer every other kingdom, this fourth kingdom. And that which you saw, the legs and the toes, what you saw, that some of the toes were made of metal, some of the toes were made of earthenware. It will be a kingdom that will be divided, and there will be a strong king and a weak king within the kingdom. Within the kingdom there will be two kings. One will be powerful, one will be weak. What does that mean? Is it Putin and what's the name of the other guy? Huh? No, within the Russian Empire there's one who's the president and there's one who's the prime minister. Putin controls everything, and there's the other guy who technically has a title.
Or Vatican, which is the one who has military power.
Okay.
And, I don't know. I don't think it's
the with the biggest Islamic army that exists. It's not a joke. It's very, very powerful.
Okay. Or is it Trump and Pence, right? Trump has power and Pence can talk, right?
Just Trudeau.
You're always concerned about the mic, so banging is not good for the mic.
Why? To stay awake, so tired. That's why.
On one hand, something very strong, and on the other hand, earth there that is so weak as nothing.
Right.
Sorry, I'm just trying to keep myself away.
So it will be a divided kingdom. Metal mixed with earthenware and tar. Malchu Filigateve. You're going to divide this kingdom. And this kingdom is going to be a divided kingdom. And even the weakest in that kingdom will be powerful because he's a member of that kingdom. And wherever he goes, they will respect him because he's a member of that kingdom. And that is what you saw. That the earthenware was mixed with the metal. That was what it shows you. That even the weak, like the earthenware, because they're a member, they're connected to the metal, they will be powerful. And what you saw on the toes, that some were metal, some were earthenware, part of that kingdom is going to be powerful. And part of that kingdom is going to be brittle. And what you saw, that the metal was mixed with earthenware, they will mix with other people, but they won't really connect to the other people. People will think when they marry into them that they're one of theirs. But they won't be. Just as metal doesn't really fuse with earthenware. What's he talking about? Which kingdom is there that they marry in and they make believe they're one of yours, but they don't really connect to your people? I hear. Food for thought.
They make believe that you're one of them.
Because it cannot be Russia, because Russia is one. Even if you have Putin and this and that, they're one. America is also one. But Israel and everyone there can never be one. They can never mix.
We're forgetting China and India.
Oh, and Pakistan.
Yes, and Pakistan.
Oh. And don't forget Africa.
And Australia.
Yeah, but Iraq and...
Right.
Guys, Iraq is... I mean, Africa is not a country. It's a continent.
Right. I meant all of Africa.
No, but I meant India and China are the superpowers that people don't really know. But, God, they have
problems. Okay. So we are in the middle of Daniel's interpretation of the dream. And I don't know if you guys want to continue.
Yes.
Or pause. Yes, pause. Continue. And so on the days of these kingdoms, Hashem, the God of heaven, will establish a kingdom that will last forever and it will never be harmed. And it will never give away its throne to any other kingdom. It will finish off all these other kings. And it will stand forever. This corresponds to what you saw. You saw that from a mountain, a stone came flying, that no one cut down. But suddenly the stone came flying, and you saw how it mashed, and it brought the gold, the silver, the copper, the earthenware, the metal, all of it was flattened. The great God, Hashem, let the king know what's yet to come after all of these kingdoms. I've told you the dream, I've told you the truth. And if I've told you the dream, and I've told you the truth, then you could really trust my interpretation of Nebuchadnezzar. Now, at this time, Nebuchadnezzar is not happy. There's a problem. What did he just tell us? What did he just tell us?
How did the king have his dream and not a problem?
Good question.
Does this make the king a prophet?
So, it's a good question for Thursday night. And
whether it's a question, why is the king not
the
happy?
King now considered a prophet because he had this dream?
Why is the king not happy? Because he had this dream that, based on this dream, his dynasty will not last. There will be another kingdom that will take his, and then another one after his, and then another one after his. And what's worse is that the people he just conquered 2 years ago, the Jews, at the end they're going to take it all back. So this is not what Nebuchadnezzar wants to hear. So Nebuchadnezzar right away thinks, how can I annul this dream? How can I make this not happen? So he says, step one, let me bring down Daniel. How do you bring down someone? Honor them. Flatter them. So right away, the king Nebuchadnezzar, Nefa'al alan po'i, he bows down, Ul Daniel, Sagid, and he bows before Daniel. He says, you're a god, Daniel. He says, I want you to all serve him. Bring him a sacrifice. Libate wine before Daniel. And Nebuchadnezzar's thought is, let me bring the Jews down. Let me bring Daniel down. I'll make him into a god.
Why is everyone so...
So the king says to Daniel, it's true. Your God, who Elahin, is the God of all gods. He is the one who is in charge of all kings. He knows all secrets and reveals them. If you were able to reveal this secret, so the king made Daniel great. He made him into a great officer in his empire. He made him the leader in charge of all the nobles. He gave him great gifts. And he made him in charge of all of Babylon. Daniel is now in charge of taking care of the welfare of Babylon. It's 2 years after the destruction. And who's in charge of Babylon? A Jew. 2 years after the destruction. And this will repeat itself. Under Nebuchadnezzar, who's going to be in charge? Under Achashverosh, Mordechai. We have this little blip on the screen where Haman is in charge. We will have to explore when this happens. But at this point, in Nebuchadnezzar's reign, Daniel is established as the governing officer of Babylon. Like Yosef. Ve'rav Signin al kol hakimei Bavel. He's in charge of all the nobles, he's in charge of all the wise men of Babylon. V'Daniel be'amin malkah, Daniel asks the king, Umani alavideta di medinat Bavel. And so the king establishes over Babylon, the Shadrach Meshach v'Avednego, he establishes Hananiah Mishael Nazariah, v'Daniel bitra malkah. And Daniel was at the king's gates. Daniel is in charge. He has Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah helping him, and Babylon is running. Nebuchadnezzar is plotting. How can I bring down the Jews? How can I bring down the Jews? I don't want the Jews to take my kingdom. And our next story begins with the Nebuchadnezzar's decree to make all the Jews bow to his idol, to bring the Jews away from Judaism. So Nebuchadnezzar is going to try and ensure that the dream does not come true. His kingdom will not be taken by whatever kingdom which will lead to the Jews. And this is going to be the obsession of every king now. It's going to be Nebuchadnezzar, it's going to be Belshazzar, it's going to be Achashverosh. Everyone is going to live in the shadow of this dream. Everyone's going to say, wait a second, there's a problem, and our problem is the Jews. Why is the problem the Jews? Because whatever we build will ultimately be taken by them. We can't let that happen. And the more they don't succeed, the more they want to succeed. And so that's where our next story begins, with Nebuchadnezzar's attempt to bring the Jews down. That's where we will begin Mizrachim tomorrow night.